This is Jonathan Richman, and you're now listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
The following is an encore presentation from CKUW's archives. Join us next week when the regular host will be back with a new episode of original programming.
You are about to listen to a recorded interview previously broadcast on November 6, 2025, with artist and art educator M.E. Sparks. M.E. Sparks currently has an exhibition up at Ace Art 206 Princess until December 19th. Let's now listen to this previously broadcasted interview with M.E. Sparks here on CKUW 95.9 FM. Hey folks, you're listening to CKW 95.9 FM. This is your Arts Talk radio show, and you're here with co-host Derek Breckner. Usually we have Zoe LeBrun here as well, but Zoe is off being an artist, as she is. She's doing a residency in British Columbia right now. But if you're just tuning in, this is, as we said, CKW 95.9 FM, coming to you straight from Treaty 1 at the University of Winnipeg, here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And as usual, we're interviewing artists here at Eat Arts and Vegetables at the Art Talks radio show. It happens every Thursday at 5:30. And as usual, we have a guest today. We have one guest. We have amazing artist and art educator. We have M.E. Sparks. Hi, M.E. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. M.E. is a educator, teaches at the University of Manitoba. She's one of the full-time people and one of my counterparts for the foundations area. And Emmy is a painter, but more importantly, Emmy has an exhibition that Ace Art. The exhibition is called Perennial.
Yes.
And so we're here to just talk about a variety of things, I would say, with the show, her work, and we'll kind of go from there, you know. But we're just going to, you know, Emmy and I kind of know each other, so in some ways I think that this interview may will allow us to get to know each other more, I think, perhaps. And
yeah, I have some questions for you.
Yeah, great. That's great. Yeah, I mean, as long as we're focusing on you and your work and not me, but I can certainly answer questions that will see, feel adjacent to what you're doing, for mm-hmm. sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So where should we start? You know, I think there's a number of things I would just be very happy to talk to you about. I mean, for one, you were recently on your very first research leave, and you did this residency in New York City, which I think turned out to be very fruitful for you. And there's that. Of course, there's the current exhibition at Ace Art.
Yeah, the work in the show at Ace Art definitely took root at my New York residency.
Okay.
So I can kind of start there if you'd like.
And sure. Yeah.
Kind of briefly describe how some of this has evolved in a pretty quick time frame as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, in April, I went to a fantastic residency in Brooklyn called NARS, New York Artist Residency Studios, and I was there for 3 months.
Amazing.
And I realized that I wanted to respond to the residency studio, like the specific space and the environment of that studio, and I happened to be looking out onto the water, and I was up high in this big warehouse, old warehouse building, and the wind coming off the water was so incredible, and it would blow into my studio and blow all my paintings off the wall, and it was a wild environment, kind of to be in the middle of this industrial zone of Brooklyn and have this kind of ocean wind blowing in. And so I decided to make paintings that could be blown around and kind of embrace the movement and kind of this improvised choreography of painted fabrics and surfaces. And so then that led me to use video to record that windy blowing composition of painted fabrics. So that was kind of the first step towards what is at Ace Art right now.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I'm familiar with some of your work, and that you, if we could say this, and by the way, anytime that I say something you don't think is right in terms of me describing you, please like
sure.
stop me in a
yeah.
second and just screech on the brakes and say, no, Derek, that's not it at all. But for me, like I start to see you kind of as a painter, but kind of working in the idea of expanded painting.
Would that be a fair assessment of things?
Yeah, I think over the last few decades, we see artists within a broader painting discourse kind of moving outside of the frame, moving off the wall, mm-hmm. addressing space and environment and installation and conversations with painting. And so there is definitely a kind of genre of expanded painting that I feel akin to. But I also, I kind of look for ways that painting can be provisional and malleable and movable. But once I kind of get that out of my system, I really crave the stability of going back to a stretched canvas and going back to the wall. So I think I need kind of both methods in my studio. I need the expansion, and then I also need the stability of, let's call it, a traditional painting.
Or the pictorial space, mm-hmm. shall we say. And by the way, just not to take away any of your chops as a pictorial painter, I think you're quite amazing.
Thanks.
There is, and I don't know if the is Touchy still up or is it down now?
Touchy at 226 Main Gallery just came down, but it's a good example. Like I was showing a large scale stretch oil painting,
which I thought that painting was tremendous.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was a.
Also a New York piece, so developed at the residency.
Now we're just kind of, we're going off on all sorts of tangents here. And so it kind of makes me want to go back to New York. And so when you were there, I mean, I'm assuming you had an opportunity to check out a lot of work in person. I don't know any other city in the world that has as much artwork to see than New York. I mean,
yeah, that was my priority being there was a kind of 50-50 balance of work and creation and then seeing shows. And so every day I'd head out on the train, catch as many galleries as I could before at a kind of midday point heading to the studio. So it was a fantastic rhythm, and
amazing.
The work I was seeing there is inevitably a huge influence in some of this very new and kind of unexpected directions that I've gone in. It's all about seeing work. I mean, as artists, we have to be looking and watching.
I mean, that's what you and I both tell our students, you know, and we like to try to live by example with that, you know, best we can.
And it leads you in directions you don't expect.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, isn't that the key to being an artist, going in directions you don't expect?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
One thing that I found really influential, just seeing all these shows over 3 months, was how raw and kind of unfinished painting can be. Mm-hmm. I think when we, you know, in a place like Winnipeg or small towns or even just in Canada where we're not maybe getting as much experience going to contemporary galleries, we take in a lot of the work through our phones and through screens, and there's a kind of, in a sense, airbrushed quality, you know, to these images of paintings. And so I think over those many months of seeing these shows every day, rotating through the galleries, I just kind of came to appreciate how raw and rough a painting can be. And it's so different and unexpected that compared to what we see through our phone screen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's just I mean, I feel like we could have a whole discussion on how do we teach students to not to think about looking at artwork through phones?
Yeah.
Because it's something that I'm sure you're battling as much as I am. You know.
Well, and we show slideshows
And we kind of reinforce the problem. Yeah.
Yeah. We learn through these reproductions of artworks, but seeing surfaces IRL is really transformative. It gave me permission to be a little bit more loose and raw with my own paintings. Yeah.
And I mean, I think, you know, if we think about the trajectory of 20th century and 21st century painting, I mean, it really is about, you know, the language of paint on a two-dimensional surface, whether you're working with imagery or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think that still becomes an important part of the, shall we say, syntax of painting, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah. Surface is everything. Surface is charged and not neutral whatsoever. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why thank you for bringing that up, because that was one of the reasons why I brought up New York. I thought 3 months in New York, I thought, I'm kind of curious as to like what you took from it. Was there anything else from?
It's a hustle city.
It's very hard to live in.
I was really fascinated just kind of learning about and kind of speaking with a lot of artists who are making it happen there, but
it's so hard.
It's a tough slog, and it did make me very much appreciate Winnipeg. It made me appreciate the tightness and supportiveness of a small art community like we have here.
Yeah. The studio rent.
Oh, I was showing photos of my Winnipeg studio and, to New Yorkers, and they were shocked.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, just from my nostalgic point of view, I mean, I went to grad school in New York City 35 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm old. But anyways, and so, you know, I think that it always kind of has this warm spot in my heart, and it's always nice to see other people experiencing the city. And it is very difficult in one level, but another level, it's kind of has these qualities where you can't get anywhere else. And
well, it's, I mean, you're battling, you know, and you're in this kind of hustle culture, but it also is so energizing.
Yeah.
So that's, you feel alive, yeah. You know, immersed in that.
Yeah, you're exhausted and beaten up and alive at the same time.
Yeah, it's more alive.
Yeah, yeah, it's quite interesting. So maybe, could we maybe talk about your video in a minute or two? For those of you that are just tuning in, we're interviewing M.E. Sparks. M.E. is a artist and educator here in Winnipeg, and M.E. has a show, Ace Art. Yeah, M.E., I think maybe if we wouldn't mind talking about your video a little bit. And I know that you had some preamble questions in the green room about wanting to talk about video, which...
Yeah, well, maybe I'll give just a brief overview of kind of what visitors can expect for the video work in this current Ace Art show.
Yeah.
So there's five video pieces, and I decided to show them all on monitors. I was thinking about the monitor as being as much a kind of physical object in the space as the nearby paintings. So along with the videos, I have these draped sculptural paintings that kind of create a maze through the space of Ace Art. But yeah, so the videos are shown on monitors, and they are very documentary style documentations of the physical paintings being manipulated and moved and reorganized in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I was quite fascinated by both the stillness that a video can have, so a still image very much in the realm of painting, and also the flat pictorial space of the video, but then those subtle movements that suddenly break you out of the stillness of a picture and kind of launch you into this world within the screen. So the video is very much balanced between being almost too still, you kind of wonder if the video is on pause, maybe,
right,
with then some small or sometimes big movements that again, like, yeah, put launch you into a different space, perhaps.
See, for me, like, this sounds great. I'm visualizing exactly what we can anticipate for you and your show, which I'm, of course, going to go to. But, you know, I think that your description of the video kind of reminds me of this idea that, you know, so much of video culture through popular culture, social media, tends to be like these rapid fire kind of edits of just like one rapid fired image after another. And the idea of like subtlety and nuance just doesn't seem to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sounds to me like your paintings are kind of a reaction to that popular culture use of video.
Absolutely, yeah. And we're also very, like, we're so trained to be rewarded with our scrolling behavior, to kind of have answers and information delivered to us as quickly.
Immediate gratification.
Yeah. And I kind of wondered both, I mean, the same question exists when I'm making a painting on canvas compared to when I'm making a video on a screen. The question of what happens when we withhold that immediate satisfaction or that immediate
expectation
or ability to name or understand what we're looking at. What happens when you kind of delay that or even obstruct that search for clarity and gratification? So,
and you know, in my mind, I mean, the obvious term that comes to mind is contemplation.
Mm-hmm.
I think is probably a good thing considering
And something that we don't
do enough.
We are kind of, we're maybe forgetting how to stop and contemplate, you know. I am totally a victim of this, absolutely, with
I'm literally holding my phone in my hand right now. So that's, I mean, for me, that's exciting. And so then I imagine then that there'll be moments where we walk in and the viewer will be looking and going like, okay, like you said, is it on pause? And then suddenly there'll be like a little kind of indication, oh, it's not on pause. And there'll be like a little kind of a flip of something that maybe
some videos have more obvious movement than others. But one thing I did was remove my own body from the videos. So the movement also has a little bit of a surreal quality because you don't see who or what is causing the movement because I've edited myself out.
And so it's the wind, but then it's also, are you literally editing the paintings as well?
Or? I'm adding and removing pieces of painted material.
Okay.
So there's a almost stop motion-esque movement because there's these cuts as things are added and removed. But my on this topic of video, my question that I wanted to ask you, because it's a question I'm trying to ask myself, we're both painters. We intimately know and understand, you know, the medium of paint. I'm trying to figure out what is really driving me to work with moving images. And then the same question to you, because you have a history of painting and also video.
I mean, I think maybe my answer is going to be very different from yours. Mm-hmm. But I think, like you said, I think that they're both kind of dealing with pictorial space. Mm-hmm. They were just like, like I did my master's in painting in 1991 and, you know, I worked figuratively. So it was this kind of combination of representational with the figure. And I felt for a very long time that there were things that I wanted to say that I was having trouble saying through the painting. And so went to video to give myself the opportunity to say things I wasn't able to clearly say as much. And so I think with painting and working with imagery, there's this freezing of the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think with the video, it kind of allowed me to, like you said, you can be contemplative with the video, but you don't necessarily freeze the moment the way you do in a painting, mm-hmm. at least with representational imagery. And so I kind of was attracted to that. The other was this idea of literally giving voice to the people that I was painting or depicting in my paintings. And so suddenly now they have this active, you know, and I considered my paintings always participatory on some level, because I was always working with real people that I know. And,
right.
And so the video allowed them to be more true collaborators, I think, in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know the history of this enough, but I feel like there's a really strong history of painters who work in video.
Yeah, and thinking exactly that as I was coming here. I think you see, throughout history, you see painters definitely deviate, and whether it's towards expansive methods, sculptural installation-based methods, or towards the moving image. It's just a question I suddenly would love to ask artists who take that turn in their work.
I think, and maybe somebody's done this, but I think that this would be like a great master's or PhD thesis on the history of...
Right.
Of painters.
Painters getting tired of painting.
Well, not even tired, but let's say just that, you know, painters that do video and painting. There's a history of it.
Need both. Because I same for you, I need the material language of painting, and I need to have this, at this point, very experimental, quite rudimentary explorations into video, because it's a language I do not know how to speak.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe this is just part of having an art practice. At certain periods of time, you just need to learn a new language.
I think so.
Maybe photographers do this as well. You know, I think that there's just something that I'm feeling recently, just really, really, really energizing and refreshing, and to feel like a beginner in something.
Yeah, like this is the thing. Like, you know, painting, you would surely agree with this, that painting, you know, has millennials of history. You know, video, you know, we're dealing maybe with 100 years if we think about moving image with film. You know, so I think that there's not all the baggage, which I find kind of freeing. Do you?
Freeing. I will say I do acknowledge my kind of imposter syndrome feeling of going into video without a background in that, without formal training, and there are so many things that I've had to just watch YouTube videos on, you know.
Yeah. I did too at the beginning. Like, I've been doing video off and on for about 25 years, and I felt that way too, but but I feel, I feel like there are a lot of contemporary artists that kind of go into things not knowing the medium or the so-called profession or whatever, and they kind of work their way through it and are very successful at it, and there's a history of it. So
Well, I think sometimes I find out my favorite painters, you know, have no formal training in painting,
right.
and I think of course. You know, the training ruins you. So
you know, and it's ironic that we both agree with that statement and we're both teachers, but
yeah, absolutely. I mean, this
but,
is yeah. the kind of conundrum or the complexity of how to teach and learn an art form.
And the nature of contemporary visual art. You know, like, I feel like, and I could be wrong, but I kind of suspect in other disciplines, like in the arts, like with theater and dance and music, there's still a super strong, refined training. And I mean, we have that at the School of Art, but we also know that there are a lot of established artists who we know full well that they didn't take that path. I mean, they took training, you know, but
it's more about a kind of critical and thoughtful breaking of the rules.
Right. That's a really nice way of saying it, actually.
Yeah. And while technique and history and is so important to know, like, you have to know what rules you're breaking.
Yeah.
And so that's where I do find my grounding in teaching is we still need to, like, lay out the rules and assess what works, what resonates for you and what doesn't. What are you going to break and what are you...
Yeah, like, I mean, we're both teaching Drawing Studio One right now, right? And, you know, I mean, I suspect you think the same way about the course, but it's like, it's kind of like a, I don't know, in some ways a boot camp or definitely a tradition of working with representational imagery and still life and all of that stuff. But we only do it for one term. And I say at the end of, end of the term with the students, I say, well, now we're going to go into something else with Drawing Studio 2.
Yes. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And I say to them, like, so you're probably going to want to just, like, leave all these rules that we talked about with this course, and you can pick it up later, but now you're going to be going into a completely different direction.
Mm-hmm. Use the muscles that you've built. I use the metaphor of boot camp also.
Oh, do you?
All
okay.
the time. I say, you know, I say, we're working out our eyeballs. It's going to be exhausting. Yeah. We're going to feel tired just like going to the gym.
Yeah.
But you've built those muscles now. How then to manipulate and transform your drawing methods with those.
See, I'm very excited that this interview in some ways has turned into a curriculum committee meeting.
So yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Which is great. And it's nice to know that we're on the same page, even though we've never had this discussion about our teaching ever.
This is a good chance to have.
So listen, we've gotten too far off you and your work. I'm sorry, and it's used up most of your interview now, but we're going to end off in about 2 or 3 minutes, but any final words before we go? I mean, other than that, we're going to plug the exhibition, of course, but
I'll just mention, if you come to the show Perennial at Ace Art, I would just encourage you to spend time with the videos. They're not meant to be watched in a beginning to end sequence, but more just, you know, you happen across the current moment, and just like a painting, take it in and move on. And so I'm very, because this is such new, really experimental work for me, I'm so curious to hear how people experience the video pieces.
And I'm assuming you'll have a guest book with people can leave comments too. And
sure, we can make that happen. And I'll also mention there's a really beautiful poetic text written by a local artist and filmmaker, Annie Kierens, that will be available to take away at the gallery as well.
You've just listened to an interview with M.E. Sparks, artist and educator. This interview was broadcast November 6, 2019. 2025, here on CKW 95.9 FM. Emmy Sparks' exhibition at Ace Art Perennial is up until December 19th, 2025, at Ace Art 206 Princess. Stay tuned for Tony the Brave. We'll be back next week, Thursday at 5:30, as usual, here on CKW 95.9 FM.
CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Content is everything.
Support for CKUW is provided by the Western Cultural Center, your friendly local arts nonprofit. Community is important to us. Did you know that the WEC offers free drop-in music lessons in partnership with the Manitoba Conservatory of Music and Arts? The tuning program runs Tuesdays at the Western Cultural Center from 4 to 6 p.m. and it's for ages 12 to 18.
You know, sometimes you've just got to hear something more than once. Well, you're in luck. Groundswell Radio is on CKUW, 2 p.m. on Mondays, then again the following Sunday at 4 p.m. The best new concert music from Winnipeg and around the world, right here on CKUW 95.9 FM.
With your CKUW Friends card, you are supporting CKUW 95.9 FM and our friends in the community. 100% of your donations go to the general operations at CKUW 95.9 FM. And with your Friends card, your dollars get you more at
the King Cobb Market Pub at 580 Ellis Avenue, your local arts and craft beer pub, with a rotating selection of local beer, art, music, and Southern-inspired pub eats. Your 10% discount on all food and selected taps makes this West End neighborhood pub an ideal place to start, end, or even be your next night out. Be sure to check out their Bella Vista Nights every Wednesday for free live music sponsored by CKUW 95.9 FM, fiercely local.
Join CKUW's community of support by donating $35 during Fun Drive in February to get a Friends card and get access to more deals around Winnipeg.
When I called you out of nowhere.